Some may find the following disturbing. Discretion is advised.
All right, I'm Dan Aguirre, and I'm told that the Chicago Bears have a 4.4% chance of making the 2019 NFL postseason. I take umbrage with that, and I suggest to you that it is plausible, not probable, but certainly doable, for the Bears to have, at the bare minimum, no pun intended, a postseason game. Didn't say it was guaranteed. Didn't say that there was certitude behind it. But I'm going to take you back. I'm going to go back to the early 1970s. I'm going to go through the fucking 80s. I'm going to stop along the way, 2010, 11, 2008. I'm going to come back to 2019. We're going to Tarantino this shit. We're going to go to from right now to the past and come back at the end. And I'm just painting a picture for you that says, as Bear fans, we get a game Sunday, and maybe we have hope beyond just beating our rivals, beyond just salvaging a winning season, or what we hope to be a winning season. Because we don't get a first-round pick. So what difference does it make? What are you going to lose, like, to help the Raiders? You want to win out. But not just for egotistical purposes. I'm saying to you right now, on December the 11th, now things could change on Sunday. The Bears lose, and basically it's over. Or maybe the Bears win, and the Vikings win in Los Angeles, and perhaps the Rams win at Dallas. Then things get a little bit more complicated. But again, we'll come back to all this.
We'll return right after this quick message.
Hey, sports fans, it's world champion Andy Gepper, Mike North. Punch this number in your phone right now. If you're driving, pull over. 1-800-808-3419. 1-800-808-3419 for a free pick and info for the premier handicapping site in the country, Vegas Scores and Odds.com. It's the only site you'll ever need with expert handicappers like John Anthony, Denny Macklin, Tony Sacco, Ray Monahan, yours truly, and many more. Check out the homepage of Vegas Scores and Odds.com for a tote board with your buddy. Follow Vegas Scores and Odds on Twitter and dial up 1-800-808-3419. It's 1-800-808-3419, 1-800-808-3419, or go to VegasScoresandOdds.com.
We now return to our program.
Let's go back in time. I'll start with the 1971 Dallas Cowboys. Because I was thinking about this. First off, Coach Ditka was a starting tight end there. And their pivotal moment that season came to Soldier Field, actually. Context. All right. It's very similar, except that they had gone to the Super Bowl before and the Bears just lost in a wild card game. The 1970 Cowboys, they get to Super Bowl V. The Colts have seven turnovers. Seven. And yet, the Cowboys lost 16-13. And when the game was over, they felt, the press felt, everybody watching the game felt that they were the better team and they should have won. But they didn't. Again, they were gifted seven turnovers. But how did they melt down? So they're up 13-6 at one point. Baltimore scores six on a fluke play from Unitas to John Mackey. Back then, if you were on defense, you couldn't. Basically, one defender couldn't touch it, and the ball couldn't go from, say, like, let's say Clinton Dix would bat the ball in the air, and then Eddie Jackson would intercept it. You couldn't do that back then without an offensive player touching in between, which if you've seen the Immaculate Reception play, that's the whole debate with that. But in the Super Bowl, the Colts do score on a play. The ball's batted in the air, and John Mackey goes 80 yards or whatever it was. A fluke play, but the Cowboys did touch it. They tried to say they didn't, but they did. The trajectory of the ball moved, but it was luck, complete luck. But it's 13-6. And the reason it was 13-6 is because the Colts missed an extra point which would be so pivotal later. But they're up 13-6. Should be 14-6. After Craig Morton hit Dwayne Thomas with a screen. Later in the game, Dwayne Thomas is about to score at the goal line. It would put the game away. It would make it 20-6, and he fumbles at the half-inch line. Similar to Ernest Biner in the 87 AFC Championship game. But he fumbled, and the Colts recovered. And eventually, they would come back after Morton would throw his third pick. They kicked the winning field goal, and that was that. They lost 16-13. In a game that they shouldn't have lost, right? So here we go, 71, the point. They're the team it's looked upon as the team this year. Kind of like to say the 2019 Chicago Bears. This is our year. That's the way it was dubbed. That's the way it was marketed. This was going to be their year to rectify what had happened the year before in that Super Bowl game. Some weird things happened along the way, some inner turmoil. Thomas decides he's not getting paid enough, and he wasn't. At first, he thinks it's a racial discrimination issue because, I mean, you have to look at the times. It's 1970, 71. There would be merit to at least having a discussion on something like that. But as it turns out, he finds out, like, hey, Bob Lilly's not getting paid a lot either. So he tries to force a trade. He actually is traded to the Patriots. And in an unprecedented move right afterwards, Commissioner Rozelle has to basically repudiate the trade because the Patriots say, well, this guy doesn't want to get in the I formation. This guy is disrespecting the coach. Fuck this guy. We don't want him. So he's traded, and now he's back. Hey, that worked out for the Houston Rockets. They tried to trade Robert Horry once upon a time to the Pistons for Sean Elliott. The trade didn't go through, and then he won 2 rings with the Rockets and 100 rings with everybody else. But anyway, so Thomas comes back, and then he doesn't talk to the media the whole year. Also, Morton had such a shitty Super Bowl, and they've got Staubach on the bench. Because remember, he had to go to Vietnam. He's in the Navy. So he hasn't become the guy yet. And they're actually alternating plays. Morton does a play. Roger does a play. And it comes to a head week 7 on the lakefront when number 10, Bobby Douglas, has a very shitty game. But, hey, leads the team to a 23-19 victory. Go Bears! And at the time, the Cowboys were 4-3. And it just lost to the fucking Bears. The Redskins are 6-1. I mean, they look like this team is full of turmoil and they're not going anywhere. Not saying it's exactly like the Bears from a couple weeks ago, but it's similar in its own way. After that game, Tom Landry fully decides we're going with Staubach. No more of this rotating shit. The defense has a meeting with the coach and says, look, we want a quarterback. We want one leader. The Cowboys wouldn't lose a game the rest of the year. They went from 4-3. The Redskins, by the way, were 6-1 at the time, would finish the year 9-4-1. Because back then you had 14 regular season games. You didn't go to 16 until 1978. So they went 4-3, finished the year 11-3. And then, of course, won their playoff games, and then won Super Bowl VI. And Ditka caught a touchdown. So, turmoil. A team that had no shot at 4-3, and they win the Super Bowl. Okay. You might say, well, Dan, that was 1970-71. Who cares? How is that relevant today? The game was different. Okay. Maybe your point's right. Let's take it a little bit more modern then. And I hate to give this team any props, but the 1988 San Francisco 49ers. They were 6-5. And not just 6-5. They were drowning, man. Let's rewind. They go 15-1. They beat the Bears in the championship game. The famous Guy McIntyre run. Or coming into block, rather. That Ditko cited as his reasoning, rationale for putting Fridge on offense in 85. They beat the Dolphins in Super Bowl 19. And then, playoff futility. They lose a wild card game in 85. 86. See, back then, three teams got a bye. The three division teams got a bye. So, if you weren't, if you had the third best record, you still got a bye, but you had to start out on the road. So at 86, the Bears got a bye. The Giants got a bye. The 49ers got a bye. But the 49ers had to start on the road, and they get annihilated at the Meadowlands, a Giants stadium. They lose like 40-93. Montana is just beaten into a pulp. So now they've lost to the Giants 2 years in a row. They come back in 87, spearheaded by Jerry Rice at the time having his best season. I'm sure he eclipsed that 50 times. But the Niners are 13-2, because remember in 87 there's replacement games, there's a strike. So they only had 15 games as opposed to 16. So 49ers are 13-2 and overwhelming favorites to get to Super Bowl 22. And what happens? Anthony Carter catches, Bear fans remember him, right? Not Chris Carter, Anthony Carter. He catches like 200 plus yards. Montana's benched. It's great. Being a guy that hated that 49er team. So now you're looking at a team that won a Super Bowl. Yeah, it's Super Bowl 16 and Super Bowl 19, but they've lost their first playoff game in 85, 86, and 87. And the 87 team was a colossal failure considering they were the number one seed, 13-2, home field advantage, and they lose. Just blown out by the Vikings. So now with that in mind, in 88, people are starting to say that Joe's done. Steve Young has given his chance to be the guy. They've just traded for him for the year before from Tampa Bay. And he starts against the Cardinals. You're telling me they're going to lose to the fucking Cardinals? Back then it was the Phoenix Cardinals, not the Arizona Cardinals. They had just moved from St. Louis. It was the St. Louis Cardinals in baseball and football. But they lose to the Phoenix Cardinals in the last minute? So they, Steve Young has said many times, had he won that game, he would have been the unquestioned starter of the team. But Walsh lost faith in him because he lost to the fucking Cardinals. So, they lose to the Cardinals, and then the next week, the Raiders hold them to a field goal. 3 points. They're 6-5. Wes Chandler retires. Wes Chandler was the guy that replaced John Jefferson in San Diego, Air Coryell, and it just had incredible hands. I mean, he just says, fuck it. This team's going nowhere. I'm old. I'm done. Wes retires. They put Montana back in. They're 6-5. They finish the year 10-6. So they go 4-1 the rest of the way. As fate would have it, they would get Minnesota back again in the first round, or the second round, but their first playoff game. They trounce the Vikings, atoning for the year before. And then they come to Chicago in the cold, bare weather, and they just blow us the fuck out 28-3 in Jim McMahon's last game. They beat Cincinnati in Super Bowl 23. Now, I'm not saying this year's Bear team is going to win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying anything brazen like that. I'm just saying teams have done this when it looked like there was no opportunity, not even a chance, an inkling of them advancing any farther than where they were. The 88-49ers were dead. Players were retiring. And yet, they won the Super Bowl and then came back the next year and went 15-1 and won that fucker again. And came close to going to three straight. But it started with 6-5 in 88. Speaking of the 87 49ers, if you think about it, if the Bears could just get in, which I'll get more on that in a second, it has happened before. Like I said, that Niner team was 13-2. They lost. The Green Bay Packers, 15-1 in 2011. 15-1. The reigning, defending Super Bowl champion Green Bay Packers. And what happened? They lost their first playoff game to the Giants. The Giants, two different times with Eli, won three road playoff games and won the Super Bowl, beating the Patriots both times. If you can just get in, man, just get in. The Packers, look, okay, I'm bouncing around. I'm going to go back to 2008 in a second, but 2010, what happened there? The Packers were 8-6. If the Bears win Sunday, they will be 8-6. Just painting that picture for you. The Packers were 8-6, and they needed help to get in. They had to beat the Giants, and they had to beat the Bears. If you remember, that was Lovey's game where he said, we're going to play football. We're going to try to put them out. And thankfully, they did. But we still lost 10-3. And as a result, wasn't it 10-3? I know that was week one this year. I think it was 10-3, the week 17 in 2010. Either way, Green Bay needed help, and they got the help, and they made the playoffs. And what happened when they got in? They were on the road every week. They went to Philadelphia. They won 21-16. They went to Atlanta, which was probably, off the top of my head, the number one seed, and they beat them 48-21 in the Georgia Dome. And then they come to Chicago. Oh, the NFC Championship game. One of the low points of my life. And obviously, I've had some low points, which I've shared with you earlier in this podcast. 21-14. And then they still got to go win the Super Bowl. And they do. 31-25 over the Steelers. And all that started with an 8-6 team that needed to win and they needed help to make it. And what happened? They won and they got help. And they got in. But we can't start sucking each other's dicks just yet. Even if everything else lined up correctly, the Bears still have to win. For example, 2008. We're in this weird spot where, again, we have to win and we need help. Tampa Bay is going to give us that help, sort of. First off, in the irony of ironies, the Bears lose at home to Tampa Bay in week three. Brian Griese, former Bear, avenges his time in Chicago, throwing for 400 yards and beating the Bears. I think that went to overtime. If the Bears had won that game, I know it was week three, but they would have made the playoffs. But okay, not the point. As the season would progress, the Bears needed basically Tampa to lose out. And guess what? They did. They lost four consecutive games. And in the irony of ironies again, John Gruden, in his last game as Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach, needing a win to potentially make the playoffs or lose to your former team, the Oakland Raiders. Well, the Raiders would beat him 31-24. Gruden would be fired after this, losing to his old team. So the stage was set. The Buccaneers had the floor fall out. They lose their last four games. Maybe that happens with Green Bay this year. Maybe. We'll talk about it. But It set up a situation. Bears at Texans. Win and you're in. Tampa is has lost. Win and you're in. By the way, the Bears have never beaten the Texans. Have you realized that? Texans expansion team in 2002. We played them in 2004 in Chicago. Cold. Of course, I think Chad Hutchinson played for us. Miserable game. We may have lost like 30-something to 5. Pretty sure we had 5. Terrible game. 2008, which I'm about to highlight. Obviously, we don't win. 12, we're doing well. Really well. 7-1. They come national TV Sunday Night Football. Jay gets a concussion. And I'll talk about that fallout again in a second, but they lose there. And then they lost to him opening day in 2016 in Houston. They've never beaten the Texans. Had they beaten them in week 17, the 16th game, in 2018 or 2008, they would have made the playoffs. But they go out there, and despite an early lead in Kyle Orton's last game as a Bear, thankfully, I hated Kyle Orton. Sorry, I did. The Bears would lose 31-24. And guess what? Shane's boys, the Philadelphia Eagles, would swoop in. Fly, Eagles, fly. Because they were 9-6-1. They had a tie with the Bengals that year. 13-all. So we could have gone 10-6, had more victories, and made the playoffs. But instead, we finished 9-7. We needed Tampa to collapse. They did. But we didn't win the game we needed to win. And the Eagles would take advantage. And they actually made it all the way to the NFC Championship, but thankfully were beaten by the Arizona Cardinals and Kurt Warner, who would go on to lose the Super Bowl to former Chicago Bears Santonio Holmes, MVP that day, Super Bowl 43. Madden's last game on the mic, too. So that year, we need a lot of help. We got all the help, but didn't finish the deal. So the point is, we have to, if we get the help, we have to follow through. Collapses happen. I've just pointed out the Tampa Bay collapse, but what about the Bears? Just look at the Bears. 2011, they're 7-3. Jay gets hurt against the Chargers. That's that. All they had to do was win two games without him, and he would have been back in the wild card round, the first round. But they make the playoffs. All they need to do is win two games, and they fucking can't do it. Donovan McNabb wanted to come to Chicago, finish his career out. He'd just been cut by the Vikings, but we have too much pride to sign him. Caleb Haney. Eventually, Josh McCown did win a game in Minnesota, week 17, which is the game Major Wright hurt Urlacher's knee, and Urlacher was never the same again. We got that one victory and finished the year 8-8 and did not make the playoffs. They were 7-3. Remember, they gave up a Hail Mary to the Chiefs at the half, and the Chiefs were dreadful that year, losing in Chicago. Next year, 7-1. They lose to the Texans. Jay gets concussed. Can't play the next week against Colin Kaepernick in the 49ers, and Jason Campbell gets the start, and the Bears are blown out by a guy making his first start ever on national television. Even so, the Bears would finish 10-6 that year, but they needed Green Bay to beat Minnesota in Week 17. And that didn't happen. The Packers didn't really try. And they got Minnesota the next week of the playoffs and then beat them 44-3. So the one time we really need Green Bay to win, of course, they lay down, don't give a shit, lose, and it hurts us. But I've just documented three teams, the 08 Bucks, the 11 Bears, the 12 Bears, that should have made the playoffs and didn't. So it does happen. Collapses do happen. Fuck this 4.4%. Okay, maybe that's what holds true. But I'm illustrating points. It happens. I brought up this 1971 Cowboys team because they had similar adversity where everyone thought the year was done. The 88 49ers, where they thought the year was done. We thought the year was done. We thought when Nagy benched Trubisky, maybe he was hurt, maybe he wasn't. That's another argument. Either way, when the Rams beat us, it looked like that was an elimination game. Maybe it was, because we need the Rams to lose too. But it looks like we've got a shot. Let me paint this picture for you. It's 2019, it's week 15. All this is predicated on the Bears winning. But let's say the Bears go to Green Bay and they win this week. I watched Green Bay's game with Washington on Sunday. Haskins was completely immobile, was hurt. I don't know if their process with Coach Callahan was to make him grow from adversity and make him fight through the pain. He couldn't move. He was a sitting duck. He got sacked repeatedly. No mobility at all. They should have gone to Case Keenum, is what I'm saying. But even said that, Washington almost won. There was a play late in the game where they caused a turnover, got the ball, and then it was overturned on a review. Not saying the review was wrong. I'm just saying the Packers got a break late. Or the Redskins could have been driving to win the game. As it was, it came down to an onside kick. The Redskins didn't recover, and that was that. But Green Bay had to struggle at home to beat the Redskins, whom lost their tailback, and their quarterback couldn't move, and he's inexperienced throwing. It was basically 37-year-old Adrian Peterson. Isn't he 30? He's got to be 37, 38. He and Frank Gore. These fucks. Give the guys a lot of love for being able to still run, man. Anyway. It was like Peterson, and you knew it was coming. That's all they had. And the Packers still struggled to win at home. So maybe, just maybe, we go up there and win. Because guess what? We've won three in a row. We've won four out of five. We have some momentum now. We have some fluidity. We have the embarrassment of week one. We have something to play for. The Packers think they're already in it. But are they? I mean, on paper, it looks good, right? We'd like to be 10-3. But let's say the Packers lose to the Bears. Could happen. That's what we hope happens. Next week, they're at Minnesota. They could lose that one. And then they're at Detroit. Now, I know you're going to say there's no way they lose to the Lions. And maybe you're right. But similar situation, 2,000 Bears, Christmas Eve. The Lions were at home and just had to beat the shitty Bears, the 4-11 Chicago Bears. Shane Matthews gets hurt. And in his final NFL game, Cade McNown would lead the Bears down the field. And Paul Edinger would nail a 54-yard field goal in the Silverdome to knock out the Detroit Lions and put the St. Louis Rams in the playoffs. The Rams needed to win in New Orleans, and they needed the Bears to win. It looked like there was no way in hell the Bears would win, and they did. Despite being just a colossal disappointment in 2000, finishing the year 5-11, the upset occurred. The upset happened. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen this year. I'm just saying, if the Packers were to lose out, I got to get to work. That's reminding me. Time is ticking on this podcast. But I'm telling you, the Packers, if they lose to the Bears, you can't say that it's not possible they go to Minnesota and lose. Then maybe if they get this oh shit moment, they got a rookie coach and suddenly playing for their lives in week 17, maybe they lose out. And guess what? If they lose out and finish 10-6, if the Bears, Vikings, and Packers all finish 10-6, the Bears would get the tiebreaker, because for the Bears to get 10-6, they will have had to have beaten Minnesota twice and would get the tiebreaker and would have a better divisional record than Green Bay and thus would win the division. I'm painting you a picture where the Bears could win the fucking division. You say, well, the Packers aren't going to collapse. Well, the Tampa Bay wasn't supposed to collapse in 08. And didn't last year, didn't Minnesota collapse for Philly to get in? I mean, it happens. It happens. It could happen. Well, maybe it won't. But it has happened before. All right. Let's say that that's not the scenario. Bears are destined to be a wild card. Now, that looks... that's a longer feat, perhaps, because think about this. The Bears have only been the wild card team three times ever. 77, they went to Dallas, and they just got annihilated, like 37-7. Oof. They had to win a pile of games to make the playoffs that year, by the way, at the end. Same thing with 1979. They won, like, what, five? I should have looked this up. Like, five games in a row at the end, something like that. In 77, they had to kick a field goal in the snow and the ice at the Meadowlands to make the playoffs. Bob Thomas. In 79's fun. Speaking of scenarios where it just looks like, oh, there's no way that's going to happen. The Bears, to get into the playoffs in 79 as a wild card, they needed the Buccaneers. If the Buccaneers won, they couldn't win the division, and that happened. All right. So to make the wild card, they had to have Washington lose in Dallas, and they had to win the point differential, so they had to beat the St. Louis Cardinals by more than 30. So they had to win by at least 30 and have the Cardinals and the Redskins lose in Dallas. The Redskins were up. The Bears won their game. Won huge. Aldo Gandia attended that game. I recently sent him a copy of it. Mr. Hallis's son had just died. The Redskins led by 13 points with like 2 minutes to go. And what would end up being Roger Staubach's last regular season game, he threw a touchdown to Tony Hill, and they won by 1 point. They came back to win, trailing by 13. They won by a single point. And thus, the 1979 Bears were suddenly in the postseason, and nobody thought that was plausible, but it happened. And they could have won and should have won at Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia, but they were defeated. Walter had a, like, 81-yard run that was called back, a bullshit hold. Anyway, so they've only made the playoffs on the wild card three times, 77, 79, and 1994. 94, they were 8-4. And would Kevin Butler, surprise, surprise, missed a field goal to win the game in the Metrodome on Sunday Night Football. They lost to New England in Week 17 that year. They would finish 9-7 and would be the sixth seed. The last time they had a road playoff game, the last time they were a wild card, 1994, we went up to the Metrodome, beat them. Jeff Graham had an incredible game. Steve Walsh played. Then they lost to San Francisco in the second round after leading 3-0. But that's it. 77, 79, 94. The only times the Bears have made it as a wild card. And that was New Year's Day 95 when they beat the Vikings up there. So we usually don't get the wild card, but this is what could happen for us to get the wild card. Chicago at Green Bay versus KC at Minnesota. At this point, because the Rams beat Seattle on a Sunday night, you probably have to win out. You're probably going to have to win 10. Now, I'm going to say Green Bay, under this scenario, they play us. They're at Minnesota, at Detroit. We'll just go ahead and call them NFC North Division champions. So that would leave the Bears, the Vikings, and Rams to feud over that last spot. The Vikings this week are in Los Angeles against the Chargers. Now, before you dismiss that, the Chargers have beaten the Bears. Bullshit. If Pinheiro makes that kick, look where we are right now. We're talking about 8-5, and but he missed. Furthermore, the Chargers have beaten the Packers this year. So you're telling me they've beaten the Bears, they've beaten the Packers, they can't beat Minnesota, and they're at home? And they just beat Jacksonville by like 40 on the road? Come on, man. The Bears aren't that far off from Green Bay or Minnesota. If they can beat us and beat the Packers, they can beat the goddamn Vikings. Then the Vikings at home against Green Bay, at home versus Chicago. You could write a script that says the Vikings lose out. Or at the very least, let's say they beat the Chargers, then they can lose to the Packers and Bears, both at home. And maybe that finally gets the coach with his fucking glasses on the end of his nose, that fucking Zimmer, maybe he gets fired. Even so, the Bears still need help from the Rams. Now, the Rams' schedule finishes up a little bit easier because they're at home versus Arizona in Week 17. But under my script here, I'm saying they lose in Week 15 and Week 16. These next 2 weeks, they're both on the road at Dallas. You say, Dallas, they can't beat Dallas. They won't lose to Dallas. Why? Dallas is a team under turmoil, desperate for a win. There's a chance if they lose to the Rams in a bad fashion, Jason Garrett gets fired after the game. Now, maybe that's inevitable. Maybe they want him out of there. I don't know. But maybe his team, they've got the talent. They're at home. I think that's a trap game for the Rams. I think Dallas wins this. And then they're at San Francisco. San Francisco just came off that emotional victory, that mammoth struggle in New Orleans. What was it, like 48-47 or whatever it was Sunday? So it's conceivable that they would lose at Dallas and at San Francisco, because we need the Rams to lose two games because they would own the tiebreaker against us as virtue of beating us. They finish up versus Arizona, so that is unlikely. I just don't see the Cardinals beating them in at the Coliseum. But like I said, Detroit, you wouldn't see them losing to Green Bay either, but maybe it happens. So that's where we are. The bottom line is as follows. The Bears need to win out at Green Bay versus Kansas City. That game may not be a Sunday night game. The way it looks, NBC will flex out of it if the Bears lose at Green Bay. But chances are they're going to stick with it if the game appears to be meaningful. So if you're attending the game, and we know like Greg Braggs is definitely going to be there because Mint's already given him some Christmas money. And somebody like Braggs, all jokes aside, you know, you may have a 1 or 12 noon game your time, maybe 7:30, so you got to adjust your life around that. And he's a family man. So at Green Bay versus Kansas City at Minnesota. You went out, and then you need that help. And what do you need? You need Minnesota perhaps to lose 2 out of 3. And again, that's against you. That's against the Packers at the LA Chargers. Doable. The Rams need to lose 2 out of 3 at Dallas, at San Francisco. Doable. Then versus Arizona, and there's still a chance they can win the division outright if Green Bay would fall apart, which I've shown you other teams that have, such as the 2008 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, such as the 2011 Chicago Bears, the 2012 Chicago Bears. Maybe it's our turn to exploit a Green Bay meltdown. We'll see. They got us. They're at Minnesota, at Detroit. They don't get as many calls on the road as they do in Green Bay. So let's say they lose to the Bears this week. Then maybe they lose to Minnesota. Then, like I said, it gets tense when you've lost 2 in a row. And And if the Bears could do their thing during that time, it could be a win or go home. Because if the Packers would lose three in a row and the Bears win three, there's a conceivable chance the Bears would win the division and Minnesota would be the wild card or the Rams and not Green Bay. Green Bay pretty much has to win the division to make it if the Bears win out. I mean, there's a lot of ifs, but there's 3 weeks to go, and I'm told there's a 4.4% chance. And I see scenarios that have played out before. I've given you examples of other teams that were done, other things that we were told couldn't happen and happen. You just don't want it to be like 2008, where everything lines up right, Tampa collapses, and then you can't get the job done. It'd be horrible if it came down to the game against the Vikings, win and you get in and then lose. I don't want to foreshadow that at all. What I want to foreshadow is the Bears winning out and we go from there. Hopefully the Packers lose that and we get division championship. That'd be great. At the very least, let's get that wild card. So it's doable. Better than 4.4%. But if we lose Sunday, none of that shit matters anyway because it's all over. But for a few days, we can dream. We can be 7 or 8 year olds fantasizing what this would be like if we could get it, if we could pull it off.
We'll return right after this quick message.
Hello, everyone. My name is Alec Lifshitz, a.k.a. Trey Busy, and I'm here to have a conversation with you guys about mental health. A lot of times in our communities, we don't talk about mental health enough, and it goes under the radar as a reoccurring issue. So I took the liberty to create the Let's Talk It Out podcast. This podcast was created to break the silence on mental health issues and to give a voice to those suffering. I have conversations with professionals in the mental health field as well as those who are suffering, and we break down different ways to stump stigmas and ways to cope with mental health conditions. The show is broadcasted live every Thursday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on Mixlr.com/LTIO podcast. That's Mixlr.com/LTIO podcast. If you can't make the live recording of the podcast, then you can find the podcast available to you on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and wherever else you listen to podcasts. Give the podcast a follow on Twitter and Instagram at LTIO Podcast on both platforms. Thank you, and I look forward to talking to you guys in the future.
We now return to our program.
I hope everybody has a good holiday, and I hope we're all happy with the Bears pulling off something that apparently is only a 4.4% chance of happening. I think we have a better shot at that. We'll see. We just have to win. We have to win. So that's it. Shout out again to Aldo Gandia as well. Forever one to work with me. Anybody that reached out to me during this process to check on me, Berlissimo. Heidi. I thank you all. Bears Barroom. Go Bears.